Second Chronicles will start in chapter 14, pardon me, at verse 8 and read through verse 15. I did 5 volleyball games yesterday, so I hope my voice holds out. Second Chronicles 14, starting at verse 8 through verse 15, New King James Translation of the original Hebrew text. And Asa had an army of 300,000 from Judah, who carried shields and spears, and from Benjamin, 280,000 men who carried shields and drew bows. All these were mighty men of valor. Then Zerah the Ethiopian came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots, and he came to Marishah. So Asa went out against him, and they set the troops in battle array in the valley of Zephathah at Marishah. And Asa, aren't you glad I didn't ask you to read the scripture this morning? And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude, O Lord. You are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. So the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And Asa and the people who were with him pursued them to Gerar. So the Ethiopians were overthrown, and they could not recover, for they were broken before the Lord and his army, and they carried away very much spoil. Then they defeated all the cities around Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they plundered all the cities, for there was exceedingly much spoil in them. And finally, verse 15. They also attacked the livestock enclosures and carried off sheep and camels in abundance and returned to Jerusalem. Once again, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, I ask now for your blessing upon the reading of your holy word. I pray, Lord, for you to give me the strength, the unction, the guidance to deliver this sermon this morning in the way you want it to be spoken. I pray, Lord, that you would open the spiritual ears of all who hear it, that each one might receive from this sermon whatever it is you want them to gain from it, that they will be open to your guidance, to your leading, to your comfort, to your joy, whatever it is they might be in need of at this time in his or her life. This I pray in the name of Jesus, and amen. Most of you know this. 7 years ago, my dear wife Pat had a hysterectomy. When the tissue samples were analyzed, they found cancer cells. She was called back to the doctor's office, and she was informed that she had cancer. She was told by the doctor that she had about 5 years to live. 5 years. Now, I want you to think for just a moment how you might have felt had you been in her shoes. I can't imagine, but I know how I felt, and I'm relatively sure it must have been a whole lot worse for her. Cancer became Pat's enemy. An enemy that she had to face. It was an enemy that she could not run away from. It was an enemy that she could not try to ignore. Face to face with an enemy called often the Big C. Now, what do you suppose Pat did? Well, I'm glad to tell you that she did what King Asa in our Bible text here this morning did. This guy we're talking about this morning, King Asa, was facing an enemy much, much larger than his army. In fact, if you do the math here, you would find that the army Asa, King Asa, had gathered together, when he looked across at the enemy, there were 3 times as many soldiers ready to fight. So Asa was faced with approaching defeat, probably death. But Asa did something that many of us today forget to do? What would that be? Well, the Bible tells us he prayed. He prayed. Now, friends, you know this. I don't really have to say it, but I'm going to say it. Enemies are real to a Christian. Just because somewhere along our lives we have accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and He becomes our God, and we become His children, and the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us, that does not mean that the enemy will never come against us. Because I'm convinced he will spend more time coming against us than he will against those who are unsaved, because after all, he's already got those people. The Bible says that our enemies are not flesh and blood. It says, in fact, if you probably have heard this verse many times, our enemies are principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Yes, there are enemies, but there is also our God. Hallelujah. So let's see what we can find out from our Bible passage here this morning, some lessons that can help us when we find ourselves facing a big enemy like Pat did, like King Asa did. Point number one, if you take notes. If you don't, that's fine too. Point number one, when facing the enemy, we must pray. When facing the enemy, we must pray. I call your attention again in our passage here this morning in 2 Chronicles to verse 11. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. We've all heard the saying, when things get tough, the tough get going. You ever heard that before? No, I would say to you, when things get tough, we need to get to praying. When things get tough, we need to get to praying. Far too often, when trouble comes, and this makes me so sad, because I've seen cases of it time and time and time again. Far too often, when trouble comes, God's people pray only as the last resort. Many Christians' prayer lives, though, will finally increase when the enemy comes against them. Up to the time when they get bad news at a doctor's office, or suddenly a big bill comes in they can't pay, or problems fall apart in the family, or whatever might come your way as troubles, only then do we resort to reaching out to God. But before that time, we try to handle everything that comes along by our own ability. But Christians are not to only pray when the battles come. They are supposed to be prayed up already when that enemy comes against us. Now, in the Old Testament, one of my favorite books in the Old Testament is Daniel. And if you read that book, you'll find out that when a law was passed against Daniel's prayer life, in other words, a law was passed, nobody could pray. And there were a lot of Hebrews who were in captivity in Babylon. This is kind of a little information for those of you who've never read Daniel. Daniel was there. He was a strong, godly man. And a law was passed by the king of Babylon that nobody could pray. This was meant at the Hebrew people living there. So what did Daniel do when he finds out that if he prays, if he's caught praying, he'll be put to death? What did he do? I'm happy to tell you, he didn't quit praying. In fact, it increased his prayer life. He started praying even more than he ever had before. He simply did as he had always done, and even then more. In our Bible text this morning here, King Asa prays, and God listens to him. The main reason Christians do not get their prayers answered, and I'm convinced is this, is not necessarily because of sin in his or her life. It's because they do not pray. Jeremiah 33:3 says this, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things which you do not know." So, to get the answer to whatever problem that we might be facing in our life, whatever it is that has us all worked up and disturbed, to get the answer, first of all, we must call. King Asa called, and God answered. Point number two. When the enemy comes, we must not only pray, but we must believe. When the enemy comes, we must believe. Again, verse 11. "And Asa cried out to the Lord his God," that's his prayer, "and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us." Now, friends, if you were listening as I read that to you, surely you saw this. Asa does not ask God, "Is there nothing you can do to help me, Lord? I mean, this is a mess, Lord. Is there something you can possibly do to get me out of this problem? Can you do this, Lord?" No, he doesn't say that. He plainly states, "It is nothing for you to help." Friends, that was not just a statement of faith. It was a statement of fact as far as Asa was concerned. Asa believed that God was more than big enough and more than powerful enough to take care of the enemy he was facing that day. And when the children of Israel sent 12 men to spy out Canaan, that's another Bible story from the Old Testament, you might recall that there were 10 men who brought back a bad report. "Hey, boy, there's no way we ought to try to tromp into that land, because they got big cities, walled cities, and man, we'd get creamed if we did that." But there were two of those men who went as that party of spies who trusted in the Lord. In the same way, Asa saw how large that Ethiopian army was compared to his own army now, but he knew the Lord was bigger and more powerful than all the enemy combined. So, friends, when you have a battle that is huge, maybe it's cancer like it was for Pat, it can be overwhelming. It can pull you down to the depths that you have never ever experienced in your life up to that point. It can be devastating to you. It can destroy, if you let it, all of your hopes for the future. It can destroy your joy. It can destroy your happiness. And so, if that should come against you, or maybe, just maybe, maybe there's someone here this morning, or someone who will listen to this sermon some more time in the future. Maybe I'm talking about you. Maybe you are in a battle right now, but only you know it. You've done your best to try to cover it up and look like everything's hunky-dory, I'm going along just fine. Look, on the outside, you look like, you know, everything's same as usual, but on the inside, man, your heart's tearing up. It's an effort for you to put one foot in front of the other, but you try your hardest to keep people from noticing it. So if you're in a situation like that, or if you will face a situation like that sometime in the future, the question you must ask yourself is that battle I'm facing bigger than my God? How are you going to act when that battle comes against you? And another thing here, do you think that God is unaware of the battle or the enemy that you are facing or will be facing? Do you think all this just has escaped the attention and the knowledge of the God of the universe who's created all of the wonderful things around us? And do you think that that God is smaller than the enemy you're facing? Or do you think that his power and his might isn't going to be enough to get you through it? If that's true for you, my friends, I'm here to tell you, you are dead wrong. God knows the enemy you face, and He knows what's going to be necessary to get you through it. King Asa here this morning in our Bible text believed that the Lord was able to defeat that huge enemy he was about to tackle. And my question to you before I move on to point three is, do you believe in your God? Point three. And this kind of blends in back again with point one, but it's still, I chose to make it a separate point. When the enemy comes, we must ask for God's help. I said in point one, we must pray, but let me go a little bit further. We must ask for God's help. Again, verse 11, and Asa cried out to the Lord, his God, and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude, O Lord. You are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. You don't have to have a seminary degree to understand that. You don't have to be a Bible scholar to understand that. King Asa simply asked, help us! And then he later said in the same verse, do not let man prevail against you. Now a man can prevail against another man. In fact, let me change it to the other sex. A woman can prevail against another woman. I saw that happen 5 times yesterday, hallelujah, at the Edwards County High School. You were there for that last game, weren't you? Yeah, I saw our great Edwards County girls volleyball team prevail against 5 other high school volleyball teams. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I enjoyed every minute of it. But I'm kind of wore out this morning, I got to be honest. So man or woman can prevail against another man or another woman, but no man, no woman can prevail against God. Amen? Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Friends, God is always near and only a prayer away. I know this from personal experience. There are times when I feel so alone. Last night, a good example. I mean, it was a great day for me all day, surrounded by people, celebrating what was going on out there on the volleyball court, laughing and talking and being with other people. That was wonderful. But then the games were over, and I got in my car, and I came home to an empty house. An empty house. And I felt so alone. But I really wasn't, was I? Really wasn't. Unfortunately, though, God's people will choose to complain when things go bad rather than pray. In fact, they're often guilty of complaining more than they are asking. Now, don't get me wrong. By no stretch of the imagination am I saying that it is wrong to complain out to the Lord, because Asa clearly does that too. If you look at the verses, look verse 11 very carefully and read it over in your mind, you can see there's a hint of complaining by Asa there. He's not happy with the situation he's facing there, and he is, in a way, complaining. And I'm often guilty of doing the same thing. I'm saying, Lord, I don't enjoy this at all. I'm not happy the way things are going in my life right now. I do. I complain to the Lord. And you probably have done the same thing too. That's not wrong. But it is wrong to not ask God for help. Asa got what he asked for. Verse 12, so the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah. And the Ethiopians, hallelujah, fled. The enemy was defeated. And here's important. The reason that King Asa got his prayer answered, I believe, is because he genuinely sought the Lord and prayed. Here's what I think a lot of Christians will do. They get in a mess, whatever it might be, and they do pray about it. But down deep in their heart, they're thinking, I don't think he can handle this. I think I'm asking too much. I hope he does. I hope he gives me what I'm answering for, but he probably won't. There's not a touch of that, at least the way I read it, in Asa's prayer. He got his prayer answered because he genuinely believed and sought the Lord for help. And I believe, friends, that's the key to this whole story. It was after this that God answered his prayer. You folks like short sermons? Now be honest with me, you folks. Don't sit there like, Brother Dave, if you preach till 12 noon, I'm here. No, I've come to the closing. There are a number of promises in the Bible that are right there, friends, if you have a Bible, right there to help you through any battle you face. And I'm not, because I would keep here to noon if I read them all to you, but I won't do that. I'll just give you a couple of them. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And then Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Friends, those are promises from God's Word. I don't know about you, but I believe God's Word. Amen? I believe every single word of God's holy Word. And these are just a few of many, many verses of promises from God. 1 John 4:4 says this, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, every single person in this room this morning falls into three categories. You didn't come in here this morning thinking you were going to be put in a category, did you? Now, I'm not talking about the beautiful and the ugly, or the rich and the poor, or some other category. Here are the three categories. One of them you'll fit in. Number one, you're in a battle right now. I hope that's not true, but you might be in category number one. You're in a battle right now, somewhat similar perhaps to what King Asa was facing. Category number two, you have just gone through a battle. In other words, you're praising the Lord because you faced an enemy like King Asa did, and hallelujah, the Lord got you through it, and you're sitting here this morning, and boy, things are much, much better. That's category number two, and maybe you're in that one. And then there's a third one. You're going to have a battle. You're going to have a battle. I can guarantee you, friends, unless your life ends sometime today, somewhere down the road, you're going to face some kind of a battle, especially if you are a born-again Christian. Because as I said earlier, the devil does not spend too much time messing with the people who are not saved. He's already got them. But he wants to try to destroy your Christian testimony. He wants to destroy your happiness, your joy, all the wonderful things in your life. And he, if he's not already coming against you, you can count on it. He's going to come. And he can bring you something. He's going to bring, I hope it's not cancer. I hope it's not cancer. Because I've seen how that has the ability to really bring you of despair. But you're in one of those three categories. Once again, you're in a battle right now. Two, you have just gone through a battle, or you're going to have a battle. And so I close with this. Learn from King Asa, who prayed. Now let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, again, I thank you for the opportunity to preach this message this morning. Lord, you laid this sermon upon my heart earlier this week when I was really down, when I was in despair. And I know, Lord, you wanted me to preach it here this morning. I don't know what these people are facing. I don't know what's about to come their way, maybe sometime soon, maybe sometime in the future, but I believe you wanted this message preached this morning for a reason and a purpose. And I thank you for giving me the strength, the courage, the unction to preach it here this morning. And now, Lord, I lay it all upon you. I know your word never returns void. And I lay it upon the hearts of all those who hear it. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen.